right, it is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are listening to The Ooze, the Luminous Edition, your Tuesday night ooze with Jason Sorrell and Rotten Biohazard. Rotten, how you doing tonight, man? What's been going on?
Not much, man. Whole school thing started up back up last week, so it's been quite the bore and quite tiring, actually.
Right on, right on. I remember those days, man. It could be a pain in the ass. So, Go ahead, dude.
No, you can go ahead, man. It's cool.
We got an hour worth of show to do, and we had planned, based on last week's conversation, of continuing our discussion about SOPA and PIPA, the I don't even know what they're stood for anymore, the proposed acts, legislation that would have basically created a new level of censorship on the Internet. It was meant to fight off piracy and protect intellectual copyright, but it was too broad in its language, and there was a lot of outcry on these two issues. So what we're going to do, it was supposed to be voted on today. Well, it never even got to vote. But we're going to talk about how all that happened in a little bit, and some of the things that just to look for in the future. And we got some other internet stuff going on from Google and Facebook that I wanted to mention. And then we got some interesting legislation coming out of the state of Oklahoma that I was going to take time to go into. But we got a whole hour worth of show, and we'll see if these show topics carry us through the hour.
Fact, when it comes to the SOPA and PIPA thing, the day after it was said it's basically pulled from being voted on everything else, a particular guy, last name of Dodd, D-O-D-D, he was actually, well, not too surprisingly, he was upset. He was upset that the American people protested in the way they did, and they got involved in what was going on in politics. He was pissed that the American people basically derailed what was going on. He thought that it was a travesty.
Right, the people participating in government, he didn't like that. So he sounds like a politician.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. So, as far as all that's concerned, we'll just go right into it. As far as all that's concerned, these acts were fought down. First of all, there was a huge effort, a push, on the part of some big-name companies on the Internet, Google, Wikipedia, Twitter, Facebook, a whole bunch of other, and a bunch of other minor sites as well started participating in an Internet blackout. And whether or not it was a full Internet blackout, like Wikipedia shut their site down for 24 hours. Google blacked out their banner. A couple of sites I've checked out, like xkcd.com, is a comic strip. And their comic strip for that day was nothing but it's just a little blackout and an explanation as to why. The Oatmeal, if you guys aren't familiar with The Oatmeal, another comic strip, he did some little animated GIF that ended up getting featured on CNN or something. It featured basically like some guy fucking a pig, and he was pretty proud of that. So really bad graphics and everything else. But yeah, it was a big deal. So a lot of internet sites were involved in that, but the big push came from just like Chuck Dodd was opposed to, grassroots, regular people taking action, getting involved, signing on petitions, calling their senators, calling their congresspeople, and letting them know that they were not excited about this language. And the general message was piracy is a problem, and piracy needs to be taken care of. But I saw one person describe it as it's like a tiger got loose from the zoo. And the way you're going to go ahead and get rid of the tiger or deal with this loose tiger that escaped from the zoo is you're going to get a flamethrower and you're going to kill every kitten you see.
Yeah.
Okay, which I thought that was a fair summarization of what was being proposed in SOPA and PIPA. And I know we talked last week a little bit about how I thought, based on my understanding of these acts, or was that people like Venus Satanis. I'm just going to name names because Venus Satanis has a big issue with putting out stuff on the Internet that she doesn't think all the way through. And then people like you, I, or Zach of Satanic International Network, or a bunch of other people who like to use that kind of fodder. I mean, Venus Satanus is a parody gold mine, basically. If you wanted to make fun of somebody, if you want to troll somebody, I mean, it's just so easy. It's just so fucking easy. It's like, it is. It's like slapping the retarded kid in the playground, and she keeps asking for it. Okay, but anyways, the big thing with her was, of course, her doing some sort of a stripper pole. She's a stripper, or was a stripper at one point, and no stripper pole has ever had so much strain or stress put on it. I mean, she put that stripper pole to the test. She's not a little girl. And
she had more holes than a China shop. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's sad. It just makes you sad. It makes me sad in my pants to see that happen. You know, but of course this video gets mocked mercilessly by the internet community because hey, who populates the internet? Perverts and assholes. That's pretty much all there is. So, and she goes on YouTube, and what she does is when this material is being used, she, you know, files a complaint about intellectual property right being used without permission. And the exact, there's a four-letter acronym that's used, and I don't get into it, so I don't know what the hell it is. But so basically she gets this content pulled, and it does her no good. She gets it pulled from one place and pops up to other places. SOPA, and this was somebody else's proposal. Somebody wrote a blog about this, and I actually found the blog on crack.com, so don't take this for anything really. But this blogger's point was exactly what I was talking about last week, that the one good thing that he felt was going to come out of SOPA, and I see this as a travesty, was that people like him who put stuff on the internet, who have to deal with assholes like us, who trolled him or whatever, what he'll be able to do now, or if SOPA had gone through, he would be able to find their IP address, find everything they do on the internet. And if they engage in putting up any kind of content that is not theirs, anything at all, you use a picture from someplace or use some software, use a font that's not your font, that's not something that you can use or you didn't cite the source or anything like that, he would be able to use SOPA to burn that person down, to burn them right out of the internet, basically, with no judicial activity, no legal anything. That was the big threat from SOPA. It was going to make these trolls, man. It was going to make the hall monitors we had in high school and junior high. Those kids were going to come into power based because of SOPA. So it's a good thing that it went away. So and it was because of the grassroots opposition. It's funny that you mentioned, pretty sure it's Chuck Dodd, who he was upset that the people got involved in politics. And it's as much shit as we talk about the Occupy movement and how ineffective and unfocused they are, this is an example of that exact kind of thing making things happen. So maybe there's something to it. You know, people getting together when something is important, you know, the people have a voice and they can make shit happen. So kudos.
Do you know Mr. Chuck Dodd needs to really kind of remember? He's an elected official. He comes up for re-election. He might not get re-elected over this shit.
Right. And that's the thing with these. Well, it's what the sad truth is. Chuck Dodd could probably be caught in bed fucking a 10-year-old crack whore and probably get re-elected because ultimately his thing will be, I've got these constituents who have been voting for me for years, and you know who I am. I'm the evil you know. Okay, do you want to go with the evil you don't know? Do you want to go with, what you're not familiar with? That's how these senators and, congresspeople, that's how they stay in politics, despite their voting record, despite their failure to, be beholden to their constituents. That's just the way it works. That's how you become a career politician. You get in, and it's damn hard to get you out. Because, Chuck Dodd, I knew the guy's name. He's not my representative. I couldn't even tell you what state he's in, but I recognize his name. And there are a lot of people who, when they go out to vote, they're the same way. Fuck, I don't know what district I'm in. I don't know who I've got going on. But, I've heard this guy's name, and he's on my ballot. Fuck it. I'll vote for him because I don't know who any of these other knuckleheads are. And they stay in power.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to actually vote unless you know at least five things about each person on the ballot. You shouldn't be allowed to vote unless you have at least something like that.
The only, and I've I've made that argument. The only problem with that argument, the counter-argument that was made to me about that, is that unless you are a lobbyist or a politician yourself, you do not have the time. And this is the way our political system works. You do not have the time to do the research, to be qualified. You don't have the time. If you have a regular job and kids, or a regular job and you got home, you know, schoolwork or whatever, you don't have time to do that kind of research. That basically you have to know what your interests are, where your planks are, basically, where your political opinions lie. And then you just hope that the talking head that you saw on TV agrees with you or disagrees with you. So at least so you know whether to vote for him or not, you know. But other than that, and they say, you know, of course they're going to put out there whatever they're going to put out. But when they get into office, you don't know what the fuck they're going to do, you know. And they once they get into office, they're not beholden to their constituents for, you know, whatever their term is. You know, when's the last time you've heard about there's been a recall vote. I don't know if that dude in Wisconsin is still in power or not. He may be, he may not be. Who knows? I forget what the guy's name is. He's in Wisconsin opposed the unions. And I keep reading about these recall votes. And as far as I know, though, he hasn't left office. So, you know, these people, they don't get impeached. They don't get recalled. It just doesn't happen. And you hope they get elected, you know, they get booted out. But we had that Senator Byrd or whoever. He was in, you know, he was in fucking the Congress until he was 90 goddamn years old. He was in the KKK. He was a bad dude, and people kept voting for him, despite his track record, despite his very public track record. You know, fucking William Jefferson Clinton, probably my favorite president, just because of his personality. I disagree with him on every political point, but the guy had moxie, man. He's getting a blowjob in the Oval Office. It's a huge scandal. He goes on television and says, "I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky." Yes. You, me, and everybody else in the United States right in the eye and lies like a politician and stayed in office. Never mind the fucking the bad land deals that he and his wife were into. Never mind the murders that kind of were surrounding some of these land deals and everything else, the deaths, these weird deaths that were surrounding, all this little conspiracy shit. Never mind all that, you know. You know, he sullied the office of the president, you know. I was bad. Yeah, you were, Bill, but, you know, cool dude, man. So, yeah.
You know, it's also really funny, man. I was actually listening to the radio earlier. I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it was Limbaugh, actually. And they were talking about different presidents and different charismatic presidents. And he was pretty much the last actual charismatic president we have had. Also, a good note, he was also the one who actually, you know, solved a lot of the debt that was going on in the U.S. While we were down from something like $15 trillion, almost down to almost half that. He was in president, or it was a year term. Then Bush came to power. Yes. Everything went right back to the roof.
Right. And it's, I mean, you have to be a certain kind of animal to be in politics. And hopefully, every once in a while, you get yourself a JFK, you get yourself a Ronald Reagan, you get yourself a Jefferson Clinton, William Clinton, that, you know, no matter what your politics are, at least they're entertaining to watch. And frankly, your president of the United States, he's an entertainer. He's a figurehead. You know, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the trilogy or whatever, the five books that make up the trilogy. And I know I just said five books made up a trilogy. That's exactly what the joke was. The president of the galaxy was just that. He was meant to go to, you know, to signings and cutting ribbons and to be a target for assassins, while the actual political machine did its business in the background. I think, frankly, I've always said that the president of the United States. When you talk about changing the way things go, when you talk about changing laws, you do not do it through the office of the presidency. Sure, that president can veto shit, but he ultimately is not the one who makes the laws. He enforces the laws. It's the Congress that you have to vote for. It's your local congressman that you have to deal with. So if you're not looking at who you got, you know, these zombies you got in Congress, and seeing what's going on there, you're not going to make anything happen by voting for the president of the United States.
Nope. It has always been that way, actually. It hasn't been anything that's actually been fair and actually just in this country for shit. I know that was not since I've been born.
Right on. Yeah. So, SOPA and PIPA defeated, gone. And I was getting into this thing about views, about our particular little radio show. Last Sunday, if you didn't check it out, big deal on banning people in forums, what it is to be banned, how it happens, you know, why if you've been banned, you know, what you shouldn't be trolling and raising hell and doing whatever. So we talked about that. The Satanist show, the show we did about Church Satan and the change in their color scheme and their symbolism and everything else, that was a really popular show. On the other hand, I mean, this show, The Ooze, is kind of just clutched together, basically. It's a herd of kittens, basically, pretending to be a mediocre internet, you know, form of entertainment. Last Friday, Lexi and Wicked Pup actually made their appearance on their show, and they talked about soaping people a little bit, and they missed you, Rotten, just to let you know. So hopefully they're going to be continuing to do their thing. I know that TC, he is all about, you know, the Praxis Mano and the other show. So we're getting it together. And just so people know, we started a couple of blogs, the Ooze Radio, WordPress.com, I think, and MMind.info, of course. And we're going to be getting back into that. And it's been a weird sort of day. I've gotten some different, today, I've gotten some different proposals about, you know, doing different things. I've got a guy who's authoring a book right now, and he wants me to write up this piece on how I got into, if you will, an alternative philosophy or alternative religion, so that's coming. A publication was proposed. This is just one of, you know, these are just two of several things that went down today. This publication it has to do with BDSM and fetishes and everything else, and it's just online thing, and they're looking for artists and writers, and it's just been, there's just so many different directions going on right now. We're all being pulled so many different things. You've got class, TC's got his tattoo apprenticeship he's going through, Wicked Pup and Lexi has got a kid coming and everything, so hopefully by the end of February we're really back on track and getting everything going. So by tonight's show, we're just kind of, you know, winging it. And then next weekend, I have no idea what we're doing. We'll figure something out by then. So I just want to put that out there. I was going to start the show with that, but now we go. Let's see. Now, given that SOPA and PIPA have been defeated, there's some other things going on the internet that I think, you know, users of popular sites should be concerned about or be aware of. One of those things is that Google, who provides services like, of course, the Android network, Blogger, Blogspot, or what have you, the Blogger website, YouTube is Google, and of course the search engine, the most popular search engine on the internet. They have for a long time insisted that they would not be gathering data on their particular users, or rather, if you use Google, well, then of course Google, that when you use that Google site, Google might be customized based on your IP address to help improve your use of the site. That was what they were saying. If you use the Android network, the Android smartphones, what have you, well, then with the Android, you might get some. They might be putting your profile together on you to give you a little bit of an idea, you know, of what is available out there specific to your interests. Same with YouTube and so on and so forth. Well, what they're working on doing now is actually combining all these different little profiles they have on all of their internet users and all of their clients and creating, you know, this Google-wide profile for each and every one of their users of their services with the intent that's going to be used for targeted marketing. So your ads are going to be customized based on what it is you do with these things. That's the theory, okay? But using, I mean, I use Google Analytics to, you know, to see what's going on with our sites and everything else. Using that data, you can begin to customize your message, and you can, you know, get Google's help to kind of push the direction that, you know, your patrons are going to go. That, you know, the advertising can be targeted, so it might be something that you normally wouldn't be interested in, and they wrap it in the right package, so now you take a look at it. Or you know, who knows what, to help formulate public opinion. So I know one of those four things, Google, Android, YouTube, or Blogger, you have to use, right, man? You use some of this stuff, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So
I can definitely see some really sort of odd – I can see some really kind of odd pitfalls. Let's say someone's a giant perv. Of course, some of us generally are, and, you know. But let's just say you really get really into it heavily. Would it be to where if you're just searching the internet, all you're going to come up with is porn at that point, or what exactly? How is this actually going to work?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea how it's going to work, or how it's going to be catered to you, especially what you're saying. Let's say so you got this data where it tracks what you're doing. Use Google search for porn. Well, what if in your community? They become a little more restrictive about what kind of material you should be viewing, okay? The definition of sexual predator is expanded in some way, or they create new layers of bureaucracy dealing with, your sexual expression. But if, and Google's keeping track, and of course that data is being, it's all being centralized into one profile with your name on it. So your searches, the people you talk to, the things you do on YouTube, the things you blog about, the blogs you read, things like that, it's all going to be on a database for not just advertisers, but anybody with the authority or money to look at.
That's crazy. This is taking it back to this old idea of what you do online pretty much can screw up the rest of your life, actually. I mean, you have these kids these days who are using Facebook, MySpace when it was, big, and they're putting them on their profiles, and they're basically not being able to get jobs. They're having a lot of really odd issues with just things they're doing online. It kind of brings it back to that kind of thing, more full circle.
Right, and whatever you do on the internet is public. That's one thing. I mean, you should keep in mind, I guess, is that anything you do on the internet, anything at all, and now it gets even, a little deeper. Is public. Oh, by the way, the call-in number for people who might want to call in, 347-989-1371. That's 347-989-1371 to share your opinions with Rotten Biohazard and Jason Sorrell on the news. So, it's just another layer. It just gets a little bit deeper, a little bit more invasive as to what you've got going on. And let's say, let's say you go to get a job someplace that, I don't know why anybody would do this, but, I know what, in my field, tattooing. So I'm a tattoo artist, and I deal with all kinds of clients. And I'll tell you right now, and there's a little tip going on the internet. Somebody's giving somebody a lot of shit for selling certain Christian iconography, even though they call themselves Satanists. And I'm not going to go into names and everything else, but that's just what's going on. You got one Satanist calling another Satanist full of shit. Because that particular other Satanist sells some Christian iconography on their website.
Don't lie.
If you walk in, what's that?
It's you, don't lie.
Yes, I'm going to own up to it right now, man. As a tattoo artist, if you walk in with $200 in your hand and you want a cross tattooed on you, I'm tattooing it. That's what I'm doing. I mean, that's how I pay my bills. So you come in and you want Jesus saves on you or whatever, fuck it. It's your tattoo. It's your body. If that's what that's the message you want to put out there, it has nothing fucking to do with me, and I will do that tattoo. I will happily take your money. I will take your good Christian dollars and spend it on my sinful lifestyle and the sick and twisted things that I do. That's how I see turning that around. So that's what I got going on. But let's say you got somebody searching for a tattoo artist, and this data, this profile becomes available. And they're looking for tattoo artists. My name's out there, Jason Sorrell. You can Google it and everything else right now. And let's say they are able to find out what kind of person am I, because they're going to be getting a tattoo from me, and that can be a little bit of an intimate experience. So they want to find out what kind of guy I'm at, what kind of environment they're going to be in. And they Google my name, and part of the analytical data that's given to them is sites that I frequent on a regular basis. I'll just name some off the top here. Crazyshit.com, eFucked.com, FunnyGamesAdult.com, RedTube PornTube. These are, you know, these are sites that I'm checking them out almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
My different searches, the different searches I get into, you know, fucking midget anal sex, you know. Let's see what else. Paraplegic porn. I don't get into the Brazilian farting thing. I think that's a little disgusting. That crosses the line, in my opinion. Brazilian farting, I'm not interested in that. And the vomiting thing, you know, the bukkake across the board, I'm really, really not interested in, you know.
You know, man, I always had this odd fetish, actually. Do you know when someone gets a tracheotomy? You know how it always leaves that big, huge hole in the throat?
Yeah.
I always kind of wanted to bypass the mouth to catch my drift.
Oh, right on. Yeah, great. Well, and let's say you were to Google something like that, you know. Well, what I'm saying is that my customers could have potentially, with this analytics, find out what I'm into and go, you know what, that guy's a freak, you know. And they'd be right, but they wouldn't know that shit walking into, you know, my shop to get a tattoo. Well, sort of. there's a little bit of artwork on my walls and stuff, so yeah. But still, you know, it would cost me money. So that's one of the dangers of Google Analytics.
It's kind of funny that Google can do this when just recently in the last, I'd say 3-4 days, they actually voted on this whole idea, whole premise of a cop being able to put a low jack on your car, being able to somehow find where you are at any given time by tracking you through your cell phone, for instance. They actually voted and said that it was illegal. Supreme Court finally ruled saying this is unjust. You cannot do such without a search warrant because cops were doing this without anyone knowing about it, and it's now considered illegal.
Right. And Google's saying the government can't do it, but trust Google. We're your friend. We want to do it to help you. Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's always how it starts.
The call-in number, once again, 347-989-1371. Since we have time to kill, we're going to take a little commercial break. And when we come back, what's new from Facebook that should have you worried? So here's our commercial.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, T-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman! What is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddity Studios. Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format.
Hoo-wah!
Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddity Studios. www.creativeodditystudios.com.
I like the naked girl.
Creative Oddity Studios!
All right, we are back. The call-in number is 347-989-1371. Now, so we're going to be talking about some changes coming up in Facebook, and Rotten, from what I understand, you don't have a pony in this race, do you? You do not use Facebook.
No, man. I've been sticking away from social media. I got out of the whole MySpace bit. I've stuck away from it for the last 6-7 years.
So you don't do MySpace either? Okay.
No, not anymore. Nope.
And what is the reason for that? Why do you choose not to engage in social media or engage in at least that social media?
Fairly simple. I just really don't like people.
Okay.
I just...
Okay.
No.
Right on. So you're a misanthrope. Okay, that makes sense. You still have a profile on Sin, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Only one so far, yeah.
We should plug that real quick. The Satanic International Network, the only social network that our host, Rotten Biohazard, uses. Endorsed by Rotten Biohazard, the Satanic International Network. Check it out. www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. Pretty good, man. I just rattled those little commercials off right off of. Awesome. So it's a gift, man. It's a fucking gift. So I'm logged into Facebook right now, man. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the updates and everything else. I've got I'm the eldest of my generation of grandchildren, basically. So I'm the oldest grandchild for my grandmother. The youngest grandchild just had a little bit of ear surgery. So this is what's going on in Facebook, just what's going on in my world of Facebook. A high school friend of mine who was totally straight-laced, as far as I knew, would not do anything crazy, posed something about stop signs. Figure says drunk people run stop signs. High people wait for them to turn green. I didn't know she partied, man. I didn't know she smoked pot. But now I do. Now I know. So this is the kind of shit that you see on Facebook. And I've got a whole shitload of friends on Facebook. And my thing lately, Facebook for me, these social networks for me is a way of advertising. So a lot of people who get tattoos from me, they, you know, are friends of mine on Facebook. I've got a lot of family. This is how I stay in touch with everybody up north, is the friends of mine with Facebook. Because I don't like talking to people on the phone, you know, frankly. So it's odd that I do this fucking radio show on the phone. You know, I don't like talking to people on the phone. It's a big pain in the ass. I'd rather email or whatever. I can, my thinking is clear when I'm typing. So, but with Facebook, I can advertise. I can put up new artwork. I can try to, you know, send people my blogs and everything else. So it's just a one-stop communication place for me. 389 friends, which is, you know, not a lot of fucking friends, I guess, in, you know, compared to some of these knuckleheads out there. And it was for a time, I wasn't, you know, there were people, I was adding everybody for a little while. And then, if you had to know at least three people that I knew to get on my friends list. And then I started putting out artwork. So if you add me as a friend on Facebook, you get a little picture, Demon Girls, Creative Eye Studios across her crotch and everything else. And that's part that gets thrown up on your wall because you can put shit on other people's walls. One of the problems I'm having now is with this, people being able to put shit on my wall. Your wall is like your little status place. So there's that. And, of course, on your birthday, you get a little – now you get this little zombie stripper birthday card, e-card from me. So, you know, if you're not a friend with me on Facebook, you might want to get on that because you get some cool artwork that way. But the thing that Facebook's got going on right now is it got this timeline thing going. Let me see if I can pull up TC. Yep, there's TC Downey right there. TC Downey, the boss. He's the head man here at Views. Captain of the ship. He's the CEO. He's making all those big virtual internet bucks off the ooze, which means he's poor. So anyways, TC has converted to what Facebook is rolling out and calling the timeline, okay? And what this essentially does is it organizes all of your bullshit chronologically, okay? So it's divided by, you know, month and year, and you can click on, you know, you can go all the way back to, you know, so I can go back to when TC was born, and he was born on November 23rd, 1976. His mother is Joyce Downey. He's from Northwood, Ohio. That's too much information on TC Downey, in my opinion, at the click of a button, okay? And all I did was click born. Boom, there it is, okay? It looks like 82. There was something significant that happened in 1982 with TC. No, there's no data there. 1994. Okay, he graduated from Countryside High School. that's sad. So 1994, 2000. So I can go back through. I can go through this guy's timeline. And it was voluntary whether or not you'd have your profile page set up this way. And I'm looking at TC's profile page, and it is – it's gobbledygook, man. It's kind of, there's two columns, there's actually three columns when you count the little bullshit on the side, the little IM thing. There's, you know, the little bit of data is all crunched up under the window and everything else. There's, you know, it's just, it I know in their minds, I'm sure an engineer organized this fucking thing. That's what I'm seeing here. It's just, I don't know, it's not as easy. It's not as clean as the actual, the Facebook, the way it is, the normal status thing. And this was not mandatory. This timeline thing was not mandatory. You could voluntarily convert your profile to this until now. They're proposing that here in about 3 weeks, every Facebook user is going to have their profile converted to the timeline profile, whether you want to or not. And you have to go through, and of course, this is the other thing. Everything you put on Facebook, everything you've added to Facebook, will now be available chronologically, so people can click on what you did 3 years ago and see what kind of bullshit you were doing. The little embarrassing things that you thought you were buried deep in the distance, little bullshit status messaging, that girl you stalked for 3 weeks and everything else, yep, you'll be able to click on a fucking button, and there it'll be, hey, look, at this month, what the hell's going on here? That's coming, whether you want to or not. And, of course, what we have to do as Facebook users is once we convert the timeline, we have to go through and scrub our profiles of that kind of shit. If you don't go through and scrub it, it gets posted. This is typical Facebook. Facebook likes to, they started selling, data to, their advertisers on their users. And instead of going to the users and saying, hey, if you're okay with us selling your data to our advertisers, if you're okay with it, then just click yes, you agree, and you're going to let us sell your stuff, and we thank you. Instead of doing that, they said, no, we are selling your stuff. We've been selling your stuff, and if you don't want us to stop, then go ahead and click on this thing to get us to stop. That's typical of Facebook. So
now you know I'm not involved, man. Really, dude? You come on.
Now, I use it for advertising, so I try to be cool about, what's going on. Like, if you go to my profile, like I said, family uses it, friends use it, and I deal with all kinds of people and everything else. The vast majority of the people that are, on my Facebook are Satanists are into the occult. But there's a good segment of them that are just tattoo clients. There's a good piece of them that are from high school. A lot of my Army buddies are on Facebook, and, of course, my family's on Facebook. So when I get some of these knuckleheads that post, videos, one Satanist bitching about another Satanist on my profile, well, I got to make that go away, okay, as entertaining as it is, because, it's just not what I want to use to advertise my business. Timelines, it's just this weird fucking thing. And, yeah, the whole social media thing is screwy. And unless you're using it for advertising, you're just using it to basically, talk about yourself. Look at me. Here I am on the Internet. Validate me. Validate my life. So, but yeah, that's what's going on with Facebook. And if anybody has an opinion on that, 347-989-1371. I got a question, man.
What's that?
You are familiar with social networks on the Internet.
Well, yeah.
Women take issue with men just staring at their breasts, or at least that's how they put themselves out there. They don't like.
Okay,
men.
I know where you're going with this. You're going with this, okay. whole concept of the MySpace post where they're actually the camera's above their big, huge cleavage, pointing down, and see a little bit of their face, and you can see their tits.
Right, right. Why? What's going on there? What's the thinking? Street, love me for my mind, but here, look at these boobs. Look at this rack. It's magnificent, And it's, every sweaty palm pervert on MySpace or Facebook, that's what I'm looking for. Shit. I don't know the thinking. I don't know. I should be asking a woman if female Satan or somebody else were able to call in here, and she might not even be able to explain it. I know my girlfriend hasn't been able to explain it. The other thing I've seen, and this is kind of funny, I do understand this, is you get these chicks who they'll take that picture from that angle because the tits block out everything else that might be going wrong below her breast.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's some funny shit. That I can understand. But, these women who, love me for my mind, and then every picture of them is from that fucking angle up above their fucking, push-up bra and low-neck shirt.
And then when a chick does not have that, you're like, what the hell, is she a prude? Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, what's going on there? Yeah. We wanted to see your tits. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. There's this one chick on Facebook, man. Jeez. I don't know where she gets off thinking she's attractive. Now, I don't have a lot to say. I'm one fugly motherfucker. I am an ugly son of a bitch. So I don't have a lot to say as far as, you know, whether or not a person is attractive or not. I should keep my mouth shut. But there's this one particular girl, and I'm not going to name her. I'm looking for a picture so I can just be angry as I see it. This chick's teeth are so fucked up that she cannot close her mouth, okay? She's got this just elongated head and body. And it, not only does she think she's uber attractive, does she pose like a skank and everything else in every picture, she also posts this pompous, self-important bullshit. She almost sounds like me on her Facebook account all the fucking time, posing as an intellectual. She's quoting all these other people. You know, very rarely does she actually come up with something on her own. She considers herself a Satanist. And there's all of these other Satanists that are going, oh, you're awesome. You know, you rock. You know, it's like, I would say that, well, it's because she has tits. No, she does not. She does have tits, but very, very small tits. Yeah.
I have a possible idea on who you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
Are we talking about someone who with very angry boobs?
Angry boobs?
Angry tits.
No, I don't. She's not been on Sin.
Oh.
If you're talking about anybody that's been on Sin, that's not, you know, this is somebody that I only know through Facebook. And I only know this person through Facebook because of TC, who suggested that I, you know, that I'm friend this person because, yeah. And it's been a huge disappointment and everything else. And
you get listening to him, shit.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's my thing on Facebook. And nobody's calling in about it. All right. So we're not going to talk about Facebook anymore. I see that Zach from the Satanic International Network is just logged in. Zach, if you get a chance to listen to the archive, we plugged Satanic International really good, the Satanic International Network. So we did our own little impromptu commercial. You're the Satanic International Network, the only network certified by Rotten Biohazard, the only one he will use. Awesome. So let's get into even more weirdness. So we've told you that Google is about ready to create analytical profiles on each and every one of their users, which means everybody. We told you that Facebook is going to force everybody to have this crazy-ass timeline, making your information that much easier to be mined by future employers and everything else. So let's talk about Republican Senator Ralph Shorty out of Oklahoma, from what I understand.
Baby jelly topic. Yes.
Yes. Senator Ralph Shorty, he's a junior senator or something like that. He means he's a rookie senator. He just got elected. So he's a new guy. He's shiny. He's got all kinds of crazy shit that he wants to do. Senator Ralph Shorty proposing a ban, okay, get this, a ban on using aborted human fetuses as food or in food development.
Well, dude, man, what good is an aborted fetus? You're going to put it in a landfill. You're gonna burn it. Dude, you may as well get some kind of supplement out of it. I don't see anything wrong with it, personally. The bitch didn't want the kid. So why shouldn't we get something out of it?
Properly seasoned, you know, little snack bites. You fill it with fondue cheese and, you know, whatever, bite size. Human beans. That's what the can would say. It'd be a can of aborted fetus stuffed with cheese, and it would be human beans, B-E-A-N-S, beans. It'd be awesome. But no, what he's saying is, now here's the thing. Senator Shorty says, and that's his name. I'm not making fun of him. Senator Shorty is his name. What he's saying is that stem cells from aborted fetuses can be used to develop artificial flavors. He says that he's run across this kind of thing on the internet. What the hell is he Googling that he would come across, you know, the proposed usage of fetuses in food? But the FDA says, now, I haven't heard of any business, any company, anywhere proposing the use of fetuses in your food, yet Senator Ralph Shorty wants to have this legislation go through, wants to make sure that here in the United States, where you know the Americans are red-blooded and everything else, that there is no American business who's going to be using aborted fetuses in your food or for the development of food flavors, artificial flavors. So,
well, dude, here comes a little bit of an interesting quip to this, actually. I mean, dude, they already use placenta from your birth in, you know, basically facial creams.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's a tradition in many cultures here in the United States, many fundamental cultures, where the placenta is saved and sometimes it's eaten. It's used as a soup. So it's used for other things. The placenta is used, but the fetus itself, this is what this guy had an issue. So let me ask you, man, what do you think Republican Senator Ralph Shorty's real goal is here?
Well, of course, you have this whole abortion topic coming up. You have it coming up every single fucking election year. So, it's yeah. Personally, man, I don't see anything wrong with a good old fetus burger. I think he's being a dick.
Did you say a fetus burger, man?
Yes.
Sweet. Tasty. Coming to you, it'll be big in In-N-Out Burger. That's where it'll come from. In-N-Out Burger.
See, man, I can see it being a new chicken nugget. I really can.
A new chicken nugget. It's 100% meat.
And see, man, here's the thing, though. Okay, I just put it in everyone's head tonight, or if they're going to be listening to the archives. They're going to go to bed that night. They're going to be dreaming of little fetuses running and hopping into a deep fryer and then being put into a McDonald's package. That's what they were dreaming about tonight.
Oh, yeah. Breaded and those little tails, man, will be awesome. Fetus nuggets. It's going to be great.
Yeah, what you call tail, I call a nice little thing to hold when you dip the motherfucker.
Right. I got some weird little spicy ranch to dip it in, yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, what I think is going on, Senator Ralph Shorty wants to get abortion legislation on the books in any way possible. So any obscure, you know, crazy little bill that he can get rolling, because once you start getting it on the books, once you start getting it in place, then you can build on it. So he's a throwaway senator, too. This is his first go-around as a senator. So if he doesn't get reelected, the bigwigs aren't, you know, you don't have to worry about it, okay? So, and you vote for it, you push this kind of legislation, something radical. Let's make sure the fetuses don't get used in food in the United States. Most people are going to go, you know, that's coming from left field, but, yeah, I could see voting against, you know, using fetuses for food. You know, let's not do that. So fuck it. If there needs to be legislation and you've got the signatures and the votes, well, then fuck it. Let's make it into law. And then, like you said, we already use placenta and everything else. Well, if you can't use fetuses as food, well, then you shouldn't be able to use fetuses for this product. We want to make sure that it's not used in skin cream either. So we might make sure the fetuses aren't used in any kind of cosmetic skin cream or anything. Okay, cool. We're not using fetuses. We're using placentas and everything else. It's a different thing, but we got the legislation on the food. Groovy. Let's go ahead and get the legislation against using fetuses in cosmetics. And okay, well, you know what? With these fetuses and everything else, we want to make sure that stem cells, if they're going to be used, you know, some of these medical procedures are just cosmetic medical procedures. They're, you know, they help skin grafts heal faster and everything else. If the medical procedure is just cosmetic, maybe we should ban that as well.
That's
and then
bullshit.
And then you get into, well, let's go ahead and ban it for medical procedures. And on and on and on. So that's what I see going on. Any little toll hold, any little fucking, you know, foot in the door that these anti-abortion Nazis can come up with. You know, and I'm getting to the point where, you know, I wouldn't say that I was pro-abortion. I've been pro-choice. But I'm becoming pro-abortion. I'm going to begin demanding from my, you know, my representatives and my, you know, my councilmen and everything else, that women are forced to have abortions, by God. That's what they should do. That, you know, your first, if you are under a certain age or it's your third kid, just like China, abort that fucking thing. and then use the fetus to make me a sandwich. That works, man.
We solved
the food shortage problem. We solved the population problem. We're solving problems here on the U's tonight.
I wrote a paper in English 101 class proposing using the dead as a food source. Yeah, my teacher was not too impressed. She gave me some really odd looks after that.
So I agree. I think to be quite frank, I think that is the way things are going to have to go at some point. It just makes sense that you would take the dead. They're not going to use the tissue anyways, and that you would process it. I mean, you got these fuckers in Japan who are taking feces, human feces, and converting it into a meat product. Which would you rather eat? A dead guy's ass or what came out of it? Which one's the choice for you, man?
I think I'll definitely be a munching on the asshole. I'm sorry. I'm definitely going deep.
It's crazy shit. But that's what I see going on is that these people are just, they're just pushing more pro-abortion legislation. Or anti-abortion legislation, that's what they're going for.
I think this could be considered part of the anti-abortion rhetoric. I mean, you're just saying, we can't use these kids for food. I mean, first off, I want to know which country he's looking at, thinking it's the U.S. I'm sure there's some country out there that's actually considering this as a viable option. Japan, anyone?
Maybe. I haven't heard, like I said, the article I read, I hadn't heard anything about it. And I picked this up off of TC's Facebook profile, for those people who want to know where the story came up from. I didn't see any, but I could see that. I could see, anywhere where, Japan, which is because they have some very eclectic tastes. Not to besmirch the Japanese culture in any way. It's a wonderful culture, wonderful people. But maybe countries where there's a population issue and a food shortage, you're having abortions anyway. So you're having, these women have to have abortions. Unfortunately, the fucked up thing is in places where there's a population issue, meaning there's too many people, and there's a food shortage because there's too many fucking people, those places tend to be ultra-religious, Catholic or Islam or whatever, where you can't masturbate, you can't fuck, get off in a condom. If you're gonna fuck, you're going to fuck because there's nothing else to fucking do. You gotta shoot your load into the woman's womb, and if God says you're having a kid, even though you can't eat that fucker, even though the only thing you could really do, the only real use you can get out of a child is as a source of food, which we here on the U's do not condone cannibalism or eating your children. But, if that's the only thing these poor people can get out of this kind of thing, this is where, this kind of thing would actually come up. Don't abort it, but eat it. Anyway.
Dude, you just did a nice little message of, you should have a nice little public service announcement. Dude, I'm completely all for it. I am. I'm all for, you're plumping up your kid. Fuck, You always have a chubby little babies by a year old, Look at my goddamn pea soup, because I still have lump roast.
That's funny stuff. The opinions of Rotten Biohazard do not represent the opinions of the U's, Tanaka International, or Creative Oddity Studios, or any of the hosts thereof. Thanks. So,
Dick.
Anyway, you're out there by yourself. I was with you in the whole eating the dead thing, but then as far as I can go. So anyways, we got about 5 minutes left. We got some folks rolled in, rolled out. I'm not going to get into this last show topic. The last thing I was talking about. I did have one other thing real quick. The printed word, publications, periodicals, books, newspapers, that kind of thing. Do you think that we're all over the place tonight? Do you think that print is dead with the
yes and no.
The onset of the internet? What's that?
Yes and no.
Okay.
some of the more prominent, let's go into the whole fashion industry, shall we? Vogue, for instance, some of those more upscale mediums for fashion, especially in print, have been in print for quite a long while. Some of them are actually taking their regular print publications and putting them into digital format, because they see that there's a clientele, there's actually a market they have not used yet. Is print dead? It depends on first off, what you're trying to put out there. That's really what's going to get you. Depends on how many readers you have. Depends on a lot of those kind of factors for whether or not print is actually dead. Depends on the medium, what you're talking about.
Well, if you were going to start a periodical, okay, if your plan was to launch a periodical in 3 months, where it's going to be let's say a bi-monthly, whatever it is. Do you think you'd be better served creating a hard copy, printable periodical that you would then mail to your subscribers or make available at newsstands? Or would you be better off creating an e-zine and making it available to your subscribers online? Which would be...
I would have to say both. I think you'd better serve going both routes.
Okay. My opinion on this, and it's come up in my day, so that's why I'm kind of bringing it up. My opinion on this is that print's fading away. You see these major magazines. You see, sales are down for Playboy magazine. Newspapers, are losing their hold on the media. Everything's going towards the internet. I'm sure a lot of the newspapers were behind the SOPA thing. Because they didn't want to see their news rebroadcast, so they want to make sure that people paid for it on the internet. So I kind of see, as far as publications, periodicals, I see a push to go online and all that's gone online. There's still a market for printed media as far as periodicals are concerned, but I think that market's shrinking. So,
I still buy hardcover books all the time. I can get a digital format downloading it, but I still prefer to have the actual print edition in my hand still. There's something about holding
right.
a book in your hand.
Right, now, with books, that's a different discussion, I think. I think books are definitely going to be around for a while because there's something about holding that book in your hand. There's something about, turning the page and everything else. As cool as a Kindle might be or whatever. Now, using digital media to preview a book, I think that's the way to go. But then if you've got a book that you like, yeah, you go ahead and buy it. So we only got about 10 seconds left, man. You got anything you want to throw out there real quick?
Have fun, folks. Enjoy the week.
All right. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.
See you, bud.